Hi, friends. We are continuing with the Techniques of Fusion and Duality webinar commentaries. Obviously, a lot more about the techniques of fusion than about the technique of duality, for which I suggest we read the Angel of the Presence commentaries, as they may, or Angel of the Presence stanzas, and maybe listen to the commentaries on them as they may tell us something about the merging of the pairs of opposites. And later, of course, our Antikarana work will be closely related to the technique of duality. So this is number 5. We're on page 396. And yes, we're dealing with presented attributes. And it relates to the third ray method of fusion. So let us begin to read and see what we have. But first let me highlight this in purple. Maybe I'm choosing this color for some good reason. Anyway, here it is. That ought to be enough. Presented attributes may appear to you a more simple phrase upon which to meditate and easier for the average aspirant to contemplate and understand. Perhaps this apparent simplicity may be due to your failure to comprehend the significance and meaning of the word attribute. So, deeper than we think and related to divine, I suppose, divine principles, which have to be presented, such as wisdom, love, synthesis, so forth, and many actually unknown as well. But since they are unknown, we have no idea of what they might be, so we have to simply be patient here. Isolated unity, yes, it sounds like a difficult phrase. What in the world does it mean? And we've spent some time trying to understand it, trying to explain it. Inclusive reason, like pure reason, including all the relationships within any particular whole and understanding those relationships in the in immediacy, which the light of the intuition makes possible, in a simultaneous immediacy that intuition makes possible. The third ray meditation, what should we call it, a keynote, a theme, a formula, concerns itself essentially with inherent forces. Forces, I suppose, inherent in any particular whole and destined for manifestation. Force is energy applied to a lower dimension, or should we say to forms within a lower dimension. This preserves the elevation of energy over force. And students would do well to recognize the fact that there are inherent or innate qualities and attributes in the divine whole which remain as yet unrevealed. Well, in our own limited consciousness, we think that what we perceive is really all there is, or that what we will newly perceive later is related to or in line with what we now perceive and can be interpreted in terms of what we now perceive, and maybe we're very much mistaken. So there are inherent or innate qualities and attributes in the divine whole which remain as yet unrevealed, and which are as much unexpressed as the divine tendencies in the majority of human beings. So these are, what can we call it, very present but latent attributes. Okay, ATBS. All right, so the unrevealed, unexpressed attributes, which are latent in cosmos as far as humanity is concerned, have an analogy to the unexpressed divine tendencies in the majority of human beings. So it is with these mysterious and slowly emerging energies that man, ready for initiation, will have to deal. Why slowly emerging? Well, according to divine cycles, we would say. Emerging according to the cycles of the divine plan that man, ready for initiation, will have to deal, and not before he is ready for initiation. So this tells us that the techniques of fusion relate to the period in which there is a preparation for real initiation, the third degree. Okay, the man ready for initiation will have to deal, and of them he will become increasingly aware. Okay, slowly emerging energies which must be manifesting in the three lower worlds according to the cycles of the divine plan and the general intent of the custodians of the plan and the general purpose of the planetary logos. He has to learn to occupy himself with the task of cooperating with those great lives who, working on formless levels, are busy with the development of an inner and yet unrealized development within the whole. So cooperating with those who are working on subjective development, with those working on the subjective development of the larger context, the whole, whatever that whole may be. In this case, we're pretty well speaking of the planetary whole. So our cooperation, of course, that suggests the proper division of labor, knowing what you have to do. The worker, as I said, has to do both with the third ray and with the seventh ray, and sometimes with the fifth ray as well. Working on formless levels, cooperating with those great lives, members of the hierarchy, members of Shambhala, working on formless levels who are busy with the development of an inner and as yet unrealized development within the whole. In other words, we don't know what upon the inner planes these great lives are really doing, and we get some small inkling of it, some small impression, especially as our soul contact increases so that we can actually cooperate, and which can be only contacted or sensed by those who are nearing the path of initiation. In other words, the attributes to be presented are not even sensed by the man until he is becoming an initiate. This is a mystery within a mystery. Well, okay, that's a double veil, and we have a situation of obscurity here. So there are emerging qualities which will entirely transform the world once they are embodied in form, through form, and for some of this emergence we will be possibly responsible. We will be, in fact, responsible, according to our ray line, for certain presentations, just as great souls like Plato, the Buddha, the Christ made certain presentations to humanity, and those presentations have lasted and are being absorbed by humanity and transformed into a way of life, however slowly. As he talks about the synthesis of the great ideas under Plato, wisdom under Buddha, love under the Christ, all slowly assimilated, though presented and embodied long ago. So these ideas, these qualities, these inner developments can only be contacted and sensed by those nearing the path of initiation. This is really, is it not? We are studying an initiatory section of the book. And, some people consider this to be an easier book. Well, it certainly has many applications to the personality, but it's not easy whatsoever. There are so many amazingly obscure sections in this book, even though it is written, as DK has told us, primarily for initiates of the first degree. It's certainly possible for initiates of higher degree to gain much from it. So this is a mystery within a mystery, a double veil. The four minor rays, or rays of attribute, we can call them more specifically embodied qualities, are concerned with the attributes which are definitely and slowly coming into expression and to fruition. Knowledge, let's call it fifth ray, synthesis, first ray, beauty, fourth ray, science, fifth ray, idealism, sixth ray, and order, seventh ray. And, we cannot include the third ray for knowledge. So, synthesis, it is a rather ubiquitous term applying to the first ray, seventh ray, fourth ray, second ray, and in some way to all the rays. But I think he means here, it doesn't seem to be in any particular order, knowledge, fifth ray, synthesis maybe fourth ray or seventh ray, beauty fourth ray, science fifth ray, idealism sixth ray, and order obviously seventh ray. But there are others further back behind the scenes. Should we say not part of the septinated structure of things, possibly? Or will they relate to the first ray and second ray and third ray, which are presented aspects? Could we be speaking of what could be called presented aspects? Well, that's hard to say. But, we have no idea of what these might be. There are certain higher laws, we are told, which we don't know about. Our law of synthesis, our law of attraction, law of economy are just three aspects of an altogether higher law. And there are three sets of these three. So there are nine altogether. Could we be dealing with aspects or attributes which relate to the number nine? We don't know for sure, but it is possible. Well, in any case, these attributes are held in latency. They're further back behind the scenes, and as DK says here, held in latency for the proper period and time, if I may speak of things in terms of modern usage, held in latency. So just as they will emerge, they must emerge. They must emerge according to divine purpose, but only at the right time, according to the divine plan. So the fullness of the purpose will be expressed, and all attributes held in latency will emerge, But what is the time? What is the season? This we do not know. It's very interesting to consider that the attributes connected with our five of our seven rays are already definitely emerging. And we have been, we've listed them here. And I think we have to look at their nature and how they relate to things, currents in our society with which we are, in our civilization with which we are familiar. I suppose there was a time when man did not idealize, when all was chaos and not order, when there was no true investigation of the nature of things through science, when ugliness prevailed and there was no harmony or beauty, when things were fragmented and no synthesis existed, and when ignorance prevailed. There were times in the history of humanity when this was the case, and gradually the seven rays made their impact and the different ashrams emerged in an order, interestingly, given in the rays and the initiations, different from the externalizing order now appearing in our modern time. The order of the appearance of the ashrams was different. They've all appeared at one time or another, and bringing with them at least the ones associated with Brahma, certain attributes which have conditioned our civilization, leavened, lifted our civilization and the general condition of man. But behind the scenes, held in latency for the proper timing, planning on the planet, are these other attributes, and these are the theme of this higher meditation. These are the theme. Because we notice that wisdom and love and, well, the synthesis of ideas are not here listed. But even they have been presented, so what does the Tibetan mean? Are we to think of latent attributes when we meditate in this way and to find the attributes which we are one day individually or in group formation to present, to manifest, or are we to cooperate with the presentations now in progress? Cooperate with the Christ's presentation of love, of course. Cooperate with the Buddha's presentation of wisdom, yes. And maybe cooperate with the synthesis of ideas that Plato, by now certainly a master, has presented. The relationship between Plato and Pythagoras really must be worked out. There was so much in common with them, and yet some distinctive differences. They were both adept in music, interestingly enough. For both of them, the second ray was profound, but one wonders if for Plato the third ray was not also profound, more so than for Pythagoras. That is, if they are not the same entity. And also, who really was Socrates, and where is he now? And given his sacrifice for truth and knowledge, one would expect him certainly to be a member of the esoteric hierarchy, spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Who is he? That would be very interesting to know. If you think the relationship of Plato and Socrates and the relationship of Pythagoras and his first in command, Cleinias. Cleinias is associated with Master DK and Pythagoras with Master KH. Now, what about Plato and Socrates? One being older, in this case, Socrates. Well, you know, maybe we can penetrate that sometime. So these latent or withheld attributes, qualities of energy applied as forces in the worlds of form, are the theme of the higher meditation, it's not so much that we are to present attributes, yes, we are to do that, but first we must engage in meditation upon that which is to be presented and to work out our relationship to the attribute and perhaps even become an embodiment of the attribute, just as Christ is an embodiment of the cosmic principle of love in our particular system and local cosmos. Only those who have freed themselves from the thraldom of the senses can truly thus meditate. So again, we have abstraction from the three lower worlds as a requirement. And even though the third ray is related to form and matter, this third ray meditation is abstracted from these condensations. The attributes of deity might be divided into three main groups, expressing attributes. Okay. Oh, let's do this same thing so that when we come back to it, it's possible to find it quickly because it's big and it's purple. All right. So, those which are steadily emerging, of which we are becoming conscious, and which will constitute the major qualities and attributes of the fourth kingdom in nature when the evolutionary cycle has done its work, and these, or some of these, have been listed just above. Well, we can say that maybe these are already presented and are now expressing in our civilization, I suppose. Whoop. That's not going to work. Knowledge, synthesis, beauty, science, idealism, order. All of these are active in the life of humanity. At this time, synthesis, of course, has many meanings, and not all aspects of synthesis are active. Then we have presented attributes, or maybe these are attributes in the process of presentation or recently presented and are not yet fully assimilated, we might say. Let's see. Not yet fully assimilated, unless, for instance, we can say that all of us, humanity as a whole, is loving as the Christ loves, or is wise as the Buddha is wise, or is synthetic in his comprehension as Plato was. Not yet assimilated. Those which, again, using human phraseology, have presented themselves, been presented, been embodied, presented themselves to the consciousness of the advanced disciple, and which are not yet capable of interpretation, nor can they be comprehended by average human beings. So in this way, we can say, thus, they are not expressing yet, because there is not sufficient sensitivity, responsiveness to them to have them assimilated by the average human being and expressing by the average human being or the majority of human beings, but which are attributes of the kingdom of souls, and I would say up through the fifth initiation, and which will distinguish that kingdom in its final stages. Well, what can we, what of those we know? Love, wisdom, and synthesis of ideas. These latent attributes can be gradually comprehended and brought into activity by those who can function as souls. So they are assimilated by some, but latent so far for most. Well, our civilization is gradually improving. We are becoming more sensitive to higher possibilities. We're drawing nearer to the kingdom of souls. The Christ is going to inaugurate the presence of the Kingdom of Souls through the first initiation. It will become exoteric. And so these attributes presented will become highly desirable attributes to far more human beings than is now the case. You get into, you know, sort of a realpolitik. Where is the place for love in that? And does one act really with wisdom or simply with self-serving knowledge? We have many areas in which these three recently presented attributes have not been absorbed. I'm thinking about St. Paul, too, and the rent he made within the veils of Maya relating to synthesis, he being on the fifth and even more highly the first ray. So there are many ways in which our civilization is just not ready to assimilate fully the attributes already presented. They remain as ideals for most. Let's say that these presented attributes remain as ideals for most human beings. Okay, and now we move on to a entirely different order of attributes. We might call them, well, DK calls them undefined, but we can also call them unexpressed. Perhaps because they are completely undefined for even the higher sort of human being. Undefined attributes are those of which the Christ, well, I see, we better leave them undefined, are those of which the Christ, the planetary Logos, and those great lives of whose consciousness we can have no conception, are becoming aware. So then, how can we know anything about them? Sometimes DK talks about that which is beyond our imagination, utterly unimaginable to us, and he says he means exactly that. We just cannot even conceive, prefigure, in some way grasp in form these trans-imaginative states. And so it is, it appears, with these undefined attributes. For these attributes we have no words, and it is needless for us even to guess at their nature or to ponder upon their significance. The reality of the universe ever deepens. That is why Nirvana is but the beginning of the endless way. There is an endless way with an infinitude of temporary endings. We've been through an infinitude of endings, and we're still on the endless way. We've been on the endless way forever. We should call it also, I think, the beginningless way. For these attributes we have no words, and it is needless for us even to guess at their nature or to ponder upon their significance. They are as remote from our understanding as the aesthetic sense, group, philanthropy, and world states are from the consciousness of the aboriginal savage. Although in our modern world, with all of its communication systems and the fact that there are probably televisions and computers every few miles, even in the midst of those whom we have called aboriginal, things are changing rapidly. And once the DK said that there are certain people who are not yet very advanced, but they don't carry the karmic weight. They don't carry the karmic complication. And he says, do you realize what this can mean? I guess what it can mean is tremendous rapid evolution. And we have, although some of the groups may be going out of incarnation for a cycle, some of the aboriginal groups, there are others that would not at first seem very evolved, but can evolve very rapidly because they're not carrying the karmic knots, which slow their progress. So expressing, presented, and undefined attributes. In connection with the problem of presented attributes, it might be stated that those which characterize the soul and which cannot express themselves until the soul is consciously known and steadily achieving control could be illustrated through attention to the word love. Well, okay, it's been presented, but it's not yet really expressing, cannot yet express themselves. It might be stated that those attributes which characterize the soul cannot express themselves until the soul is consciously known and steadily achieving control. So we are not to expect that some of these higher qualities representative of the fifth kingdom of nature are really going to express themselves in the majority of human beings who are still dealing with the second petal of the egoic lotus and part of the third petal, although there's an overlap in all these cases. Just, you know, when you try to say, well, be more like this, you know, some missionaries have gone into the remote places of the world where people who are relatively undeveloped, at least in comparison with the modern world, are to be found, and try to say, well, this is what you must do, you know, presenting the modern values and attributes which the civilized types of the progressive countries understand, presenting these qualities to such people, can they really be understood? Well, maybe to a certain extent they can. There's been so much complication. I saw this movie, you probably know it, it's called The Mission, with Robert De Niro, and it's about the abuse of the Indian populations in South America by the Portuguese in that time of colonial adventurism in the 17th century. And you could really think that the native people had absorbed some of these qualities to a greater extent than the civilized predators who had so much complication in their societies that it blocked the absorption of the attribute of love, let us say. Some of the Jupiterian and Venusian lotuses who are found in South America, India, various places of the world, DK says, maybe recently in the United States, have no complication that would block the reception of this love energy, and they are mostly secondary monads anyway. So sometimes what we consider to be the speed with which modern civilization is progressing may be karmically no speed at all when compared with the way of simplicity. Anyway, love is such a presented attribute, not yet expressing, because people are not really at that point yet. It is such a presented attribute, and it took a great avatar such as the Christ to grasp for humanity and present to humanity its significance. Well, we human beings, we always do better when we have an embodiment. We human beings do better at assimilation of an attribute, ATR, attribute, okay. Attribute, ATBR, attribute. When we have an embodiment of that attribute from which or from whom to learn. It has taken 2,000 years for this presented attribute to take even the form it has in the consciousness of humanity. And as we know, much lip service is given to it without real understanding and absorption. And those of us who are students of world affairs well know how unknown real love is. It is so, I have found it sometimes when I'm apprehending what real love is, at least as I think real love is, to be very different from how I normally express love. And it shows that, you know, just beyond our particular darkened room with all the familiar states and objects in it are unexpected energies, which we already name but don't know in any direct sense so much about. So those of us who are students of world affairs well know how unknown real love is. Even today, in relation to the entire planetary population, there's only a very small group, a few million. Goodness, would be an optimistic speculation, who have even a beginner's grasp of what the love of God really is. So, what can we say? Oh, my. Oh, my. All right. Well, so what about an advanced grasp, such as has the Christ? So he's saying that even after 2,000 years after the great avatar embodied, grasped this attribute and this quality. See, when we use the word attribute, we don't necessarily have to compare it to the word aspect. Love is an aspect, but here is discussed as an attribute. So any aspect, when presented and brought forward for assimilation by civilization, is also an attribute. Because sometimes when we deal with the rays of aspect and the rays of attribute, we make a pretty strong differentiation, but here even high aspects of deity, when brought forward in presentation to humanity, are considered to be attributes or qualities. Attributes and qualities really have the same significance. Attributes, ATBS, and qualities have the same significance in this context. All right. Love is the presented attribute which is at this time working into manifestation, and the coming of the Christ again will serve this, as will the stronger representation of the fourth ray, soon to be with us. And Jupiter in Aquarius as the esoteric ruler, that will serve. And in general, the externalization of the hierarchy will serve this, because it is the hierarchy of love. So it's working its way into manifestation, however slowly and however much it has been misunderstood by humanity over the ages, as humanity still is reaching into the world of form for satisfaction and has not yet developed the ability, the spiritual discernment, to see beyond form, but into the world of form, worlds of form, that power to draw into oneself must someday fail to penetrate the technique of integration, number two, which we've been reviewing. Wisdom began to emerge in the time of the Buddha. Let's just say about 600 years before the time of the Christ in his last visible appearance, and was the specified forerunner of love. Well, maybe it has more to do with the combination of the first ray and the third ray. Wisdom is more concrete in some ways than love. wisdom has a lot to do with the manner in which we treat the form. There is a good definition here. I'm not going to look it up right now, but it relates wisdom to the proper attitude towards form. And love is seen as somewhat more abstract. Synthesis is another of the presented attributes and is only now making its appeal for recognition. And we wonder, is this partially due to the presence among us of the avatar of synthesis? Perhaps ever since the ending of the Second World War, and one can see the synthesis operating in all kinds of fields. We really do have one world immediately visibly present to all of us. That's amazingly so if we look back just a few years, even look back at the time when these books were written and how much this sense of one world and one humanity, for better or for worse, has progressed. So synthesis is another of the presented attributes and is only now making its appeal for recognition, an appeal which can only evoke response from the higher types of men, even though centuries have elapsed since Plato endeavored to picture forth the completeness of the whole and the intricacy of the ideas which have come forth as an expression of that whole. This is what Plato did. Amazing. Plato endeavored to picture forth the completeness of the whole. Well, maybe his dialogues will have to be read again. We wonder about the esoteric teachings of Plato, you know, and what he taught to his inner circle, but we have at least the remnants. The completeness of the whole, that's synthesis, and the intricacy of the ideas which have come forth as an expression of that whole. Because in the Platonic dialogues, it was always ideas that were being debated. Dialogues. It was ideas which were being discussed and debated. What is the true? What is the good? What is the beautiful? How are they all interrelated? So this, the synthetic view of all things, which in a way was seeded by Plato some 2,500 years ago, even now is not the view of the majority of human beings. Far from it, in fact. Such great revealers of emerging divine attributes, love, wisdom, and synthesis. Interesting that, well, I think both Plato and the Buddha had a lot of the third ray connected with them. Although the Buddha is said to be on the first aspect of the second ray soul. As for the Christ, very much the pure second ray. If we're dealing with the intricacy of ideas, we're dealing pretty much with the third ray. So in what ways did the second and third ray manifest in Plato? In the Buddha, they manifested as a third ray monad and a second ray soul. Was it similar with Plato or different? Such great revealers of emerging divine attributes as are Plato, the Buddha, or the Christ differ radically from the other avatars in that they are so constituted that they are focal points through which a new presented attribute can emerge as a thought form and therefore impinge directly upon the minds of the racial thinkers. So these avatars, notice he's calling them avatars, are embodiments of the attributes they are presenting. They are the attributes. or they are so closely identified with them. The Buddha, the Lord of Wisdom, the Christ, the Lord of Love. And is it in the Agni Yoga books that Plato is referred to as the thinker? I'd have to check with Daniel Enten, who knows more about it. But maybe as the thinker, and hence the intricacy of the ideas which he presented. And of course, we think about the third ray as the acute energy of divine mental perception. Acute energy of divine mental perception, and we really can see this in connection with Plato and with Socrates, about whom he wrote so much. These avatars are possessed by the attribute. This is a kind of divine possession by an idea being. Well, let's capitalize that. Idea being. So that the persona is definitely secondary to the energy working through the persona. They intelligently comprehended it and are used to anchor the attribute in human consciousness because, as they were an embodiment of the attribute, an embodiment is an anchor. Body is an anchor. There then ensues a long period of adjustment, development, and emergence from the presented attribute before the presented attribute becomes the expressed attribute. So maybe in the Aquarian Age and during the period of Christ's reappearance, love, wisdom, and synthesis will become expressed attributes. Maybe during the Aquarian Age, love, wisdom, and synthesis will become, will, should we say, progress from being presented attributes, P-S-A-T-S, presented attributes, progress from being presented attributes to becoming expressed attributes. The above few comments may serve to simplify your thought on these abstruse matters and to give you a better idea of the true scope of these advanced meditations. I suppose everybody will one day, as a master of the wisdom or a high soul, be involved in the presentation of attributes carrying certain qualities to places in need of those qualities. We have to meditate deeply to find the line along which our particular presentation will be made as we approach initiation and the higher initiations. The result of using this meditation on the presented attributes will be the attributes already expressing themselves somewhat will achieve an intensified livingness in the daily life expression of the disciple and consequently in all lives, the lives of all whom he may touch. So the good, which is already expressing, will become only better. And those qualities, knowledge, synthesis, beauty, science, idealism, order, they are expressing themselves already and they will increase, these ray qualities will shine forth with greater beauty through the one who is meditating on presented attributes. And probably the presented attributes will be more rapidly assimilated and expressed as well. Let's see what he says. They will form the stepping stones across the river of life down which the new attributes may come, presenting themselves in the persons of those who are destined to reveal them eventually to man. the persona, the mask through which the actor sounds his lines in Greek theater. So that is of interest to us, and the expressing attributes become invocative, well, or should we say evoke, the emergence of presented attributes. So if we had all those qualities we're talking about, then maybe love, synthesis, wisdom would come more easily into our consciousness, and we would embody them and express them. But notice that there is an embodiment here in persons. There is an embodiment in persons, a concretization, and this suggests the third ray and the seventh ray, which are the two rays we can think of as involved in this presentation of attributes, at least in terms of the manifestational technique. Just as symbolically speaking, the meditation on inclusive reason opens the way to the heart of the sun. Right. With the revealing, loving unity of all related factors. So this meditation brings in certain agencies and forces, how interesting, from the central spiritual sun. It may not be what we expected. We may have expected it would be more from the intelligence aspect of the sun. But no, just as the third ray technique calls upon the will of the monad, that is the highest aspect of the monad. So from the central spiritual sun, we can call this the monad of the solar logos, and it has also an expression through the head center of the logos on the cosmic etheric planes, the highest or logoic plane. So, and we also remember that one moved to two, two moved to three, and three moved to one. So, when we're using this third ray meditation, it has related to inspiration, which is the first ray quality, and also relates to the central spiritual sun, which is the first ray vehicle, or first ray source within the solar logos. And of course it relates to the human monad, and probably to the monad of our planetary logos as well. So we don't know which energies and forces, not all of them, but related to the very high nature of the monad, which, well, let's put it like this. The central spiritual sun controls all cycles, and the presentation of attributes occur rightly only in relation to the cycles which are determined by the divine plan. So the unfoldment is impulsed by these cycles. And the first ray controls the beginning and the end of all things, thus does the monad. The first ray controls the beginning and ending of all things. And these energies find their focal point through the medium of some revealing agent. Well, we have to realize that those on all the rays have been presenting attributes. The Christ, the Buddha, Plato, they're all second ray expressions from the soul angle, whatever their monadic ray might be, threes and twos mostly, I think. So the revealing agent can be on any ray, and in the act of presenting attributes, the energies of the central spiritual sun will be invoked. The monad knows the purpose, and maybe the timing, the proper timing in which that purpose is to be unfolded. Thus, the problem of avatars and of the messengers of from the Most High, the embodied principles and the revealers of divine attributes will gradually come to be understood in a new light and grasped and understood as a possible goal for certain types of men. Not all, apparently. Some men are more inclined to be avataric than others. But always in these avatars, in our system, the central spiritual sun, i.e., certain forces and energies, certain energies and forces, certain forces and energies from the central spiritual sun are involved in the presentation. So this is interesting. This is that sort of ring around a rosy technique here, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 1. First ray illumination, a second ray ability or factor. Second ray imagination, a third ray factor. Third ray inspiration, a first ray factor. So indeed, the Tibetan meant it when he said the will aspect of the monad is behind the third ray method, making sure in a way that the highest and the lowest meet. So in the whole process of presented attributes, the highest and the lowest meet. This is a seventh ray word of power, but it suggests also the first ray. So what happens first? Intensification of the expressing attributes. So in summary, here, we have the intensification of the of the expressing attributes. Now, what else? What else happens when we submit ourselves to this third ray method of advanced meditation? This theme opens up a wide range wherein the creative imagination can roam. Well, we've been told that the imagination is to be related to the third ray. But we also find it in relation to the astral plane and the second ray, at least in terms of the positioning of the faculty of imagination on the second subplane of the astral plane, and provides a fertile source of specialized divine expression. Well, you think about those who tread the ray path. Think of those who tread the ray path and their specialization along certain lines of energy. They present that quality which they have concentrated upon and which they have insulated from all other qualities. The purer the agent, the better should be the functioning of our imagination, which is essentially the planned activity of the image-making faculty. That is the creative imagination, not the random imagination, which is simply allowed to go wherever it will according to habit and under the impulse of desire, which is not being directed by the mind or will. So the purer the agent, the better should be the functioning of the imagination, which is essentially the planned activity of the image-making faculty. And notice when we use the word plan, the word plan suggests the third ray, the urge to formulate a plan, being the third method of inducing soul control. So we plan the way we will use our imagination, and we begin to, we use the imagination to come into rapport with attributes which may yet be very vague to us, but are dimly sensed. And maybe they will become clearer to our view, and we will understand that we are associated, or to be associated, with their presentation. By its means, the subtle, well, creative imagination is always the second one that is discussed. You know, illumination generally comes first. Did it? Well, I don't know if we could call this first result the illuminative result, but the second one is definitely the creative imagination. And by its means, subtle divine attributes and purposes can be presented in some form to the minds of men, and we use the planned activity of the image-making faculty to design our mode of presentation to the minds of men, and can thus in time achieve material expression. So our imagination works towards material, not only apprehending what must be presented, but finding the means of presentation. The imagination works above and below, above to detect what must be presented, and below to work out the means of presentation. Well, when any of us have had a project that we want to do for service, we think about our motive and what attracts us to this particular type of energy we want to bring into the world. It's that way. Some of us wanted to present the seven rays to the world. We valued and attuned with the seven ray energies. We had certain imaginative rangings about the value of these energies, and then we thought, well, but how do we bring them to the world? And we employed the creative imagination to devise the methods. So this involves the higher sensitivity, power to respond intuitionally, intellectual ability to interpret that which is sensed, focused attention in order to bring down. It's almost like Roberto Saggioli's book, The Act of Will, into manifestation, the new potentiality and possibility of the divine nature, and an organized stability and purity of life. Ponder on this. So this is such an important statement. If we want to present an attribute to the world and use the creative imagination to do so, this is what we must do. So by the means of the planned activity of the image-making faculty, subtle and divine attributes and purposes can be presented in some form, in some imagined form, to the minds of men. So what is involved in the presentation? Let's just say this. All these steps are involved in the presentation of the intuitively apprehended attribute which is to be presented. So a higher sensitivity, the power to respond intuitionally to the attributes seeking presentation, intellectual ability to interpret that which is sensed, interpret it in terms of some kind of form that will be understood below, focused in attention in order to bring down into manifestation the new potentiality and possibility of the divine nature. So to concentrate on the path into form, the Blessed One sought the pathway into form. And an organized stability and purity of life, and this very last one, not to interfere with the attribute which is descending, not to distort its form. So if we are unstable, disorganized, impure, the attribute cannot get through clearly. Yes. And I'll write that. So, if we are unstable, disorganized, and impure, the attribute cannot get through our energy system and therefore cannot be presented. Or we simply cannot embody it and ourselves be the presentation, because other things will get in the way. So obviously an organized stability and purity of life are required. This is such practical information for those of us who want to make a difference in the world, a positive difference. Well, all of us are involved in doing this one way or another. Illumination, creative imagination, inspiration in some measure and in some proportion are characterizing all of us as we come in touch with the higher planes, namely with the spiritual triad. It almost seems, I would say, it seems as if the spiritual triad must be involved in these advanced methods of meditation, and that the words, what can we call them, the major descriptive, the themes or keynotes pertain to the cosmic etheric planes and to the spiritual triad, isolated unity, Atma, inclusive reason, buddhi, and presented attributes. Yes, the abstract mind, but also as stimulated by the activity aspect of the monad, and I would say even by the will aspect of the monad, the highest point in our microcosmic central spiritual sun. And then finally, the use of the creative imagination will appear to you immediately as constituting in itself a definite field of service. So the field of service, the inspired field of service, that's what we're looking at here, kind of a 1, 2, 3, the inspired field of service. Of this service, the highest of which you can know anything is of that group of contemplatives connected with the inner planetary hierarchy. These are initiates of the sixth degree, who are called Nirmanakayas in the ancient books. They are entirely occupied with the task of sensing and with the endeavor to express the presented attributes, which must someday be as familiar to men, theoretically at least, as are the gradually expressing attributes of love, beauty, or synthesis today. So, love, beauty, and synthesis are now called by this name, gradually expressing attributes. And what the Nirmanakayas are bringing down or sensing are undefined attributes. Really, at least to us they are. So they are involved, V-O-L, in presenting attributes which to us are undefined, but to them are attributes ripe for presentation, and to them well defined. Okay, the Nirmanakaya's registrants of the purpose, really. Sixth-degree initiates and in the inner hierarchy, higher than the custodians of the plan. On a much lower plane, those of you who are occupied with the effort to make soul quality expressing factors in your lives are beginning to perform on your level of consciousness a task somewhat similar to that of the divine contemplatives. These are the Nirmanakayas. Nirmanakayas, okay. Well, it's all very practical, isn't it? It is good training for the work you may have to do as you prepare for initiation. Good training to express, make soul qualities expressing attributes. This training is to make soul qualities into expressing attributes. The small lesson mastered, and many of you are finding it a hard lesson, leads inevitably to wider opportunity in service and to, we might say, ever greater presentations. Right now, we can only present what we can contact. We cannot present what we cannot yet attune with. But there are qualities of the soul which we know are right, and if we express them correctly, we are preparing for much higher registrations, which one day can become for us presentations. Well, a very deep and practical section of the book, really, isn't it? I think so. I have given enough information on which deeply to think and reflect. It's very much the second ray way. Pondering is the second ray way. I pointed out a goal which is impossible of achievement as yet, but one which leads eventually to that assured faith which is based upon direct knowledge and vision. Well, there are always things we don't know, but when we do have direct knowledge and vision of certain higher states and dimensions, we have established the principle on which we can base our faith. These things which were only theoretical to us are now true. So on the basis of that which is now true, things which still are theoretical to us are almost certainly true, and we can have the faith that they are certainly true. They are coherent within the system we are studying and in which we are advancing in knowledge, in direct knowledge. I have briefly indicated the triple techniques of integration, fusion, and duality very briefly, and I've discussed just a little bit about what it might mean, although he says the rules of the technique of duality cannot be presented. But I point us to the Angel of the Presence stanzas and to the Antikorana techniques. The duality of the Antikorana is used to achieve fusion in spirit, monadic fusion, eventually. And Antikorana is the two which leads to the one. And even the two are realized as simply aspects of the one. So I have briefly indicated the triple techniques of integration, fusion, and duality, and have shown you how, by means of them, the three rays of the personality, the ego, and the monad can be fused and blended. Has he really shown this? In other words, the fusion and blending has meant to include the monadic ray. The monadic ray. So, you know, in the technique of fusion after the third degree, the monadic ray is coming into expression slowly, And with the Antikorana, the monadic ray is accessed, and there will one day be a complete fusion, which will be that of the monad and all of its principles and all of the vehicles through which it has manifested. A fusion involving the monad itself, until deity, the essential divine life, for us, the planetary logos, I suppose, is revealed, and from a materialized triplicity, only an eventual unity can be seen. So we have three techniques. These three techniques are, in a way, a three-in-one. These three techniques are really, for us, a three-in-one. They are one process, and they lead to the fusion of the many into the one, which already is. And we will next take up some problems of psychology, studying them from the angle of the soul. Okay, well, we're not going to deal with that so much. I don't know if I will get to those problems. I think there are some people doing similar things to me, similar to what I'm doing, and they may be more suited to discuss these particular problems. After I work with the egoic lotus, astrologically and rheologically considered, and work with the last part of the rays and initiations, and with other parts of the old commentary, and also with certain things that are said in Esoteric Psychology 1 about the rays, certain ray stanzas and ray names, then maybe I'll get into psychological problems and studying them. By that time, I won't have any more psychological problems, so I will be completely ready to discuss this with you in a way that will make sense, untrammeled by my own biases. Well, that is a consummation devoutly to be hoped, and very unlikely, but one can fantasize, right? Okay, friends, as usual, I feel like I want to review the results of using the third ray technique of fusion. So let's just review that quickly, at least, because I've done that for the other ones too, I think. And we'll see if I can make that red. I don't know. I have my doubts. No, it wants to stay black, so we'll just leave it that way. The first factor is the intensification of the already expressing attributes. Well, every paragraph has to be read and reread, doesn't it? So, the intensification of the already expressing attributes in one's life and hence in one's environment, because one's life affects one's environment. No. All right, and what's the second one? The second result of using this, well, intensification, illumination, I think it connects with the first ray part of the process. The ranging of the creative imagination and using the creative imagination to bring down and manifest. Okay, so let's call it the creative ranging of the creative imagination, using the creative imagination to intuit, touch, bring down and manifest the appropriate presented attributes. Okay, but generally, it would be quite enough if we could just do one. Be involved in one type of presentation. It was enough for the Buddha. He had the measure of love and, of course, the synthesis of ideas, but it was wisdom. The Christ had the other two as well, and so did Plato to a degree. But they each focused on one part of the triangle. And the use of the creative imagination as a definite field of service. So, this is the third result. The use of the creative imagination as a definite definite field of service. Well, I don't know how well those correlate with what we would call illumination, creative imagination, and inspiration, but they are meant to be somewhat correlated. What we need to do is to make a tabulation. Maybe you can do this. I'm tempted to do it, of course. Go back and see if I can do that. But make a tabulation of the three or four effects which, using each one of the themes for meditation, will produce. If we use isolated unity, this will happen. If we use inclusive reason, another series of happenings will occur. And now we have looked at what will occur when we use the third ray technique of fusion and work with the meditative theme, presented attributes. The expressing attributes will increase in power and beauty in our lives, and probably we will come closer to assimilating the presented attributes. And we will touch through the creative imagination and the intuition certain attributes with which, in the presentation of which, we have to cooperate. And the imagination will be used for manifestation, and then also the creative imagination as a definite field of service in itself, such as is the case with the divine contemplatives. The Nirmanikayas. Yes. Well, the things that DK writes are not always exactly symmetrical. The concrete mind would like to have all the symmetry, so that in each case there's a 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and each one of them is paralleling the others. But I think, you know, if we study this carefully, we will get the idea. All of us are responsible for bringing certain soul qualities into expression. We know, maybe according to our ray and our inclinations, what those soul qualities may be, and we are attempting, using the creative imagination, to bring them into expression. And as we touch them, our mind is illumined by them, by the understanding of them, and we become vitalized, activated, galvanized, inspired on the physical plane to bring these things forward. We begin to have steady, staying power, which is necessitated in the presentation of these higher ideas and energy streams. So always we will be illumined. We will learn to use the creative imagination in relation to the energy of love and unity, and we will be inspired in our activity. We will have, in all of this process, the union of will, love, and intelligence. We will have illumination, imagination, and inspiration. And although there will be a specialization in that which we present, or specialization, let us say, in the particular keynote that we are most suited to use, the other keynotes will be there as well. We can deal, particularly as first-rate souls, with a major focus in isolated unity, and yet, to a degree, inclusive reason and presented attributes will be part of our process. We can deal especially with the apprehension in the light and in the heart of the sun of inclusive reason and see the interrelatedness, the interrelated detail of the manifesting whole, and yet also we will have that isolated, unified sense of the whole. Isolated unity will be meaningful to us. and we will also be presenting some of the realizations upon which we are working. And when we are along the third, seventh ray line and very intent on presenting certain attributes and making sure they manifest or assisting in the manifestation of those who are presenting, it will be also because we have a sense of what the whole is and some sense of the interrelated detail. So we don't want to use the concrete mind as something which just divides one of these processes from the other. They are all interrelated, and as we've seen, there is a flow of energy from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 1. So it's a triangle in circulation in a way. And all the forces involved in these fusion formulas emanate really from the monad. Interestingly, with the highest or will aspect of the monad involved in the presented, in apparently the lowest process, or at least the most manifestational process, the presentation of attributes. But then we realize that that presentation of attributes is not at all limited to third and seventh ray types, because those upon the other rays must also present. So it's an interrelated process with different emphases for different people at different times. And we are somehow involved in this as our soul and personality comes closer, come closer together. The life of the soul will make itself plain to us, and we will discover we are that soul, and we are equipped in certain ways, and we are intent on using soul consciousness to realize the wholeness of things, and yet to work with the specificity of certain energies which have to be presented in the lower three worlds if they are to be reconfigured and redeemed and lifted into resonance with the divine plan, which is itself serving the divine purpose. Well, let's see. Oh, yes, and I forgot the laws of the soul. That is a section that I will have to take up. It's a rather lengthy section. It's something we always study in the esoteric psychology courses. Maybe if these commentaries are used at some point to assist with courses, they will be a bit rearranged, you know. Maybe in the order of the book, or maybe in the order of the relative elevation of the aspects of man dealt with. But anyway, the laws of the soul, that particular section, should be undertaken, and it's probably 100 pages or so. I just have to work up the courage to do it. And then to start on this book on the Egoic Lotus, which I think people will find pretty interesting, because it will give them an idea of the petals through which they may be working, they may be organizing or unfolding or expressing in some way. Give them yet another idea of what it is they have to be doing in order to fulfill the plan of their soul in a particular incarnation. We're getting more and more specific in our esoteric or occult science about the specific actions needed to bring through the higher energies which we are now learning to touch. So this then is the finding it here, the end of a section, end of Techniques of Fusion and Duality, number 5, and it's EP2, and page, well, what is the page? I'm sure I'm skipping over it here. Oh, goodness, okay. Hard to know what is, page 400. Okay, looks like page 400. If we see 401, let's try 401. Yes, we reached a 401, so it's page 401. It was too close, page 401. And let's just say, what are we beginning with next? We'll say beginning with something. according to inspiration. Okay, friends, that'll be it for the moment. We are just about at an hour and a half, which is what these have been taking when discussing the three techniques. So, we'll see you soon with some other discussion, probably maybe within the field of esoteric psychology for a while, and then maybe going into the egoic lotus, and then maybe getting into the latter part of the rays and the initiations. There's so many things to talk about in the Tibetan's books, and I've also thought, wouldn't it be great to take these topical compilations? I've done some, many people have done some, Zach Rymill has done some marvelous topical compilations, so instructive, to take those compilations and work through them and see what connections arise when all of the related discussion is, so to speak, on the same page at the same time. Well, there's lots to do, and hopefully it can contribute to a greater understanding and assimilation of the Tibetan's great work on behalf of the spiritual hierarchy. He was given permission to present these things. He's been doing it and will do it again, we're told, in the year 2025 and following. All right, friends, see you soon. Bye-bye.